things just really may not go the way you plan. And this is something that none of us imagined to this level, but we have to imagine the unimaginable in order to then start coming up with new solutions to things. And sometimes we don't have the liberty of forecasting that. We just have to react to the unimaginable when it happens.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies, listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers, and finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made 6 career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 192 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. Last week, I interviewed Andy Foote of LinkedIn Sites and the Footnotes podcast. Andy and I discussed what you need to know about how LinkedIn works during this pandemic. The next 2 episodes I'm going to play are the audio from a session we held with the Career Pivot membership community with Lisa Rangel of Chameleon Resumes and Alex Freund from thelandingexpert.com. Both Lisa and Alex are actively working with candidates during this pandemic. In episode 187 and 188, which can be found at careerpivot.com/episode-187 and careerpivot.com/episode-188, I played the audio from the Career Pivot membership community session with David Hewen and Gary O'Neill. Both of these gentlemen are HR consultants who are actively working with companies to adjust to the pandemic. They spoke about what they're seeing from the company side. These next 2 sessions are about what Lisa and Alex are seeing from the candidate side of the hiring during this pandemic. After they give their perspective, they answer questions from the Career Pivot community. However, before we get to the episode, let's have a word from our sponsor, Career Pivot. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help members who are participating in this project grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out. It's a group of like-minded souls, where about half are over 60 and a third are over 65, who are working to figure out what they want to do in the second half of life and make it happen. I've priced this very affordably for anyone. Do not let financial considerations get in the way of checking this out. I am recruiting new members for the next cohort. I've just onboarded 8 new members. And if you are interested in learning more about the endeavor, please go to careerpivot.com/community. I am playing this session to show you the value that you get from inside the community. So now on to the session with Lisa and Alex. So welcome, everyone. This is our community call where I've got Lisa Rangel and Alex Freund on. Why don't we just simply get started by having Lisa first tell us, what do you do and who do you serve?
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Rangel. I run Chameleon Resumes and Job Landing Academy. Chameleon Resumes is an executive resume writing and job landing tactic training firm. We work mostly with senior level professionals and executives in doing their documents, their career documents, and then training them on the job landing tactics that are going to help them land their next job faster. And then Job Landing Academy is more geared towards junior level professionals and involves more self-guided type of instruction and coaching that complements the self-guided instruction. Chameleon is the is about 11 years old now, 11 and a half years old, and Job Learning Academy came about 2.5 years ago, just based on the need of people asking that weren't of that executive set, and I just figured we would create something to serve them.
And so let's go on to Alex Freund.
Thank you, Mark. I've been a career coach for the last 14 years. 90% of the people come to me for my expertise in interview preparation and practice, 10% for general coaching. When I look at all the people that I helped, and interesting enough, July 1st, this year I counted, I had in the last 14 years, 1,005 people. I would say 90% of those people come to me for my expertise in the interview preparation. The rest of them are general coaching. If I can slice this population into another angle, 70% of the people are looking for work, 30% are employed, and they want to make a change. So that's a kind of a two aspects of whom our clients are.
So let's start out. I'll go back to Lisa. We live in strange times.
Indeed.
What are the general trends you're seeing? And I'll let you determine what you want, how broad or narrow you want to talk.
Yeah, I'm finding that, you know, companies are still hiring. We have been seeing clients get hired since this all started in March, every week. And I'm finding, you know, in all different types of industries, different levels, positions, different levels of positions, despite our focus of being that higher level, more senior level person. But I'd say a common theme, even within, you know, the less experienced group that sometimes we work with and get referred to, the common theme that I'm seeing is that the individuals that can demonstrate that they've worked without a playbook before, that they have, you know, a track record of creating something out of nothing, that they created revenue streams or profit streams out of very difficult circumstances, unprecedented circumstances within their company, even if they weren't to the extent of what we're dealing with now. And they look at this situation just as pragmatically as possible as a challenge that needs to have a plan and to be overcome. I find that those are the types of people are getting hired. There is always a need for this type of person in every industry at every level. And, you know, because leadership can be demonstrated at every level. It's not always at the only leadership level, obviously. So, and those that do that humanly, and it doesn't mean they never have a bad day. It doesn't mean that, you know, they're constantly, you know, on and producing, and they don't, you know, they acknowledge the humanity within their group. They acknowledge the humanity within themselves, and they still keep people committed and motivated and inspired. And those I find are the people that are really getting hired, because companies need that. They need that desperately within their ranks to not only survive, if there's a chance for them to thrive, those are the types of people that they need. And forward-thinking companies are hiring those people knowing that we will get past this at some point, and they need to, you know, have the teams and leaders in place that are going to help them get past that. And essential companies are hiring those types of individuals because, you know, they have an immediate need that they need to serve like ASAP. So, you know, they need people who can kind of hit the ground running with that idea of, you know, working without a playbook, because they may not have a playbook to give them. So it has to be somebody who's comfortable with that. So it's sort of an overarching theme that I'm seeing in all different types of industries and at all different levels. Those are the people that are getting hired.
So Alex, what are the trends, general trends you're seeing?
But in order to better understand my comments on this, I want to give a little background, a kind of a macro approach to this. March of this year, we went through an earthquake. But you see, when we use the word earthquake, typically it's a localized event. This time it was global. I don't care where you live on earth, COVID impacted us. So the employer and the employees went through a shock. It started very abruptly, very quickly in March, and everything was impacted. Just to give some examples, 33% reduction in GDP. This is double compared to the Great Recession, which was a decade ago, except it happened in a fraction of time. From the employer point of view, from statistics that I was able to learn, 40% of the businesses closed their business forever. The other ones were impacted and they came to conclusion that they really need to make some quick adjustment to survive. Because if they don't, they have to close their doors. So what is the solution? Every company needs to make some revenue increase and reducing their expenses. And technology accelerated a trend that started way back, by which some people started working from home. Now, most people, 90%+, have to work from home. And this is a huge impact on what is happening out there. So that's from the employer side. They need to reduce, for example, an office that had 1,000 people in a high rent area. Now they said, well, we can do the same with 200 or 250, whatever, and we can reduce our expenses 3/4 or so. Managers need to learn how to manage remotely. They didn't have to do that before. Now they do. Just to give you an analogy, you know, I was raised, born and raised in Europe, and we eat with a fork and knife in Europe. I came to America and I went to a Chinese store and they gave me chopsticks. I said, what is this? How do I eat with this? I hate to admit, up to today, I don't have the dexterity to use chopsticks. My son can pick up one grain of rice with chopsticks. Why am I mentioning this? Because people adapt to the new situation in different ways. Let's talk a little bit about the employees. What happened to employees? And it's unfair for me to put all the employees in one bucket. So let's put them in three different buckets based on their age. The younger group, let's say 20 years and to 35. Frankly, I don't worry about them too much because they are just at the beginning. They will adapt quickly. They will get a job. Let's talk about the next group. The next group is 35 to 50. I worry about those people because this is where a time that you really have to have a job, you have to have income because you need to prepare later on. You need to buy a house, you need to send your kids to school, perhaps college and whatever. Now comes the third group. These are people that are 50 years and older. I really worry about them a lot because these are people that will have a very hard time coming back and finding an appropriate job under the current circumstances. And Mark, you sent me today or yesterday some interesting statistics which said that people are eased out of the labor force. People age 55 to 70, the chart shows during the Great Recession, it was 4.7%. Now, COVID-19, the same thing is 7%. So this group is very, very vulnerable.
My audience, if you go back and listen to the interview I did with Mark Miller, M-A-R-K Miller, he's the one who sent me the Teresa, well, I can butcher her name. I'm very concerned. I think a lot of folks 50 plus will be forced into early retirement, which is really scary. I want to come back to Lisa. When you say, when people are working without a playbook, what are the tactics that they're using to make them successful? In other words, what tactics are working?
That's a great question. I think, Alex touched on a few things. They are embracing the fact that this is, for many cases, remote for people. And in, essential services where it isn't remote, they're, embracing the PPE and the extra steps that are needed to be done to keep people and themselves and their clients or, safe, whatever that client person looks like. And they're just accepting it as, the overused phrase, new norm, and just building the next process around it, doing their problem solving, accepting that the way it is, even if they don't like it, even if they think it's not necessary in certain cases or extra, they may think it's not enough in certain cases, So whatever, they just have a raw acceptance of the situation, so then they can start their problem solving there. I think when someone doesn't truly accept a situation, again, you don't have to like it or condone it or, but if you don't accept the situation as your base in which you start your problem solving and your creative, approach to things, you're going to try to break the rules. You're going to take unnecessary risks. You're going to not acknowledge some key things about, this virus that, you can't, supersede, just because you think you have a plan. So I think you have to, in a very raw way, just accept it and radical, rigorous, raw acceptance. And then they start their planning and their problem solving and, ingenuity from there. And I think that's really the key, because until you really, as long as you're still resentful, as to what we're going through, and don't get me wrong, I have it, or you're in a disbelief or you're in shock about it, it's hard to then build upon something with that because you're still wishing it wasn't there. I think that's a key piece to really start effective problem solving. You have to have like a radical acceptance of where you're at.
Yeah. If you go back and listen to him, I interviewed Mac Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
Who both you guys may very well know, because his business, as soon as the pandemic hit, was off 80%.
Awful.
And if you listen to him, one of the things he talked about was how he became a much better decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the job seekers right now, you've got to become a quicker decision maker and be able to adapt what's being presented.
I have actually like a personal example to share So I think it was 2013 in March. I distinctly remember that part. I woke up one day with like a massive headache. Like I had to cancel a presentation like this with a university that I was doing. And like, I don't cancel things. Like if I commit, I'm in, usually. And I think I've canceled like 4 things in 11 years. Like I don't cancel things. So I couldn't even like sit at my computer. And that very long story short, after neurologists and CAT scans and MRIs and, the acupuncture and acupressure and chiropractors and 9 months of having that dull headache in some way, finally got discovered in month seven that I had 2 herniated discs very high up that was causing the headache. Nobody found it because it was so slight. And then it took 2 months to fix it. So, but during that time, like there were definitely some mornings, like I could not, I woke up, I would answer 3 emails and have to go lay down. And that was, I view that headache as like the beginning of my business basically growing, because up till then it was just me, selling it, writing it, coaching it, accounting for it, and, rinse, repeat. And I had to, again, radical acceptance, like, okay, this is where we're at. And I was the breadwinner. My husband was a stay-at-home dad at the time, so I didn't have another income to fall on. We had 2 kids, or have 2 kids. And so that's when I had to start hiring people. And you know, I could have let my ego get in the way and say, well, nobody does it like I do. And I could have, there's so many things that could have literally ended it, you know, and instead, I mean, you know, it was, and then once I discovered what it was and I realized, thankfully, it wasn't anything totally serious or permanent, then I was like, okay, one day I'm going to get out of this and I'm going to have all this stuff delegated and I won't have a headache anymore and it'll be great. And then you just have new headaches. But anyway, but it was the catalyst for me to realize that what would happen if I ever couldn't work as the breadwinner? I look back on that and this whole process this year, I mean, I'm now grateful to that damn headache, you know, because I really think it prepared me to just realize, like, I am not going to be able to do this the rest of my life forever, possibly, you know, and I have to take care of things. I have to. And I think it's hard for people to realize that sometimes, like, things just really may not go the way you plan. And this is something that none of us imagine to this level, but we have to imagine the unimaginable in order to then start coming up with new solutions to things. And sometimes we don't have the liberty of forecasting that. We just have to react to the unimaginable when it happens.
You had what I refer to as a moment of clarity.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes we need to be slapped in the face.
Yeah. I mean, everything rested on me. And yeah, it literally could have went one way or the other that year. Yep.
I talk about my bike accident that caused me to change.
Yeah, direction, you do.
Because I nearly died, or I should have died. So, Alex, same question to you. What are you seeing that people are doing that makes them successful?
Allow me to start from the other end of the question. What are they doing that doesn't make them successful? And then we'll take it to the other end.
That's fine.
If you were to ask me, Alex, what's the biggest problem that you see with people? And that's the following. Something happens to them. Either they are fired, as I was a number of times, or you decide that you want to move into a different area. Either you are successful and you see growth, or you either leave or next day you are going to kill your boss because you cannot stand him or her. Okay, so there is something that makes this happen. So let's take the first scenario that one day the boss calls you in and said, I'm very sorry, you know, today is your last day. Okay. So depending, you know, at what stage of your life this happens, when you are 35, 40, that's one thing. But yesterday I spoke with a lady from New York City. She's 57 years old. She's an editor and writer for working for a very well-known company. And she had a discussion with her boss. And not only she, but the entire department had to leave. At this point, I spoke with her an hour because I want to help her. She's not a client of mine. She was just referred to me. First, I wanted to understand what is going on. And I quickly realized she's now in what I call a bubble. And this is a protective measure that humans create when you are in danger. You need to protect yourself. You build a 12-foot wall around you. Nobody comes in and nobody goes out. So she lives in this area just to protect herself. She knows she needs to do something. And I spoke with her and I asked her, are you relocatable? And she said, well, since 1969, I live in New York. I love New York. I really don't want to change. And by the way, it's very expensive to live in New York. And so I don't know. She clearly wants to make a change, but the pain is not strong enough to really grab the bull by the horn and make things happen. So this is what I see. People are at various stages in their, what I call the pain level. People like to do what they've done in the past. People don't like changes. But now, the boss told you, next Monday, don't come to the office because you don't have a job. Now they have to do something. And depending what their circumstances are, and I can talk about their age level, people act differently at 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70 when such a thing happens, A. B, what's a financial background? This lady confessed to me, I made a mistake. I never put money aside to take care of my latter days. Other people say, you know, luckily my spouse is making, you know, a good living. And so it really depends on many, many, many factors. That's one. Next thing, people overestimate their value in the marketplace because the thinking of the human is this. I've been a vice president for the last 15 years. I must be good at what I'm doing. Look, I've been a big shot for a very long time. So what I'm telling them very delicately and very gently is this. Do you remember the Monopoly game? They said, yes. Do you remember you bought the hotel and you bought something else and one day you owned the entire street and then you took the dice in your hand and you threw the dice and, oh, guess what happened? Now you're at square one because you lost everything. Never mind you own the whole strip. Never mind you own hotels and all the businesses on that street. Now you're at point zero. And this is exactly what is happening to people. They could never even imagine that one day will come that they have to go for an interview and they will have to justify who they are. Yep. In a 7-minute interview with a 23-year-old kid that just graduated from college and has a list of 10 questions that they have to ask and they have to make a judgment whether you move to the next level or not. These are situations that I see out there all the time. People don't understand the value of professionals in this business. Mm-hmm. And it annoys me to the point that I have to restrain myself and not be obnoxious about it. Because I live in a world that I say, if I have a significant issue that impacts me, right, if it's medical or financial or anything, I immediately go to the professional because I'm smart enough to understand this is a big problem. I don't know how to deal with it. Mark, right. I can tell you this. I work right now with three financial advisors, three. Why? Because I value their input and I'm willing to pay for their services and following their guidance, I'm doing well. Thank God I don't have worries right now. In other areas, I always seek professional advice. Most people don't do that. They try, you know, we live in a world of, I can do it, you know, I need to do some plumbing. You know, I'll go in my town to Home Depot, there are guys there. I will just ask them some questions. They will guide me. So people are these do-it-yourselfers. You may be a good plumber based on instructions you received on electrician. But let me tell you, when it comes to compete for a job and finding a job and interviewing for a job, it is a competition and I call it an audition. It's an audition on Broadway. And by the way, let me remind you, there is only one opening and you have to fight for it because the interviewer is not calling in dummies. The interviewer is handpicking 3, 4, 5, 6 very good people.
Yeah.
And only one is getting the job. Do you need professional help? Absolutely so.
Lisa, I saw you shaking your head and wanting to say something.
I mean, I pretty much agree with everything Alex said, but he touched on a point that I often, as gracefully and as delicately as I can, which sometimes I'm not so good at, but I do my best. Sometimes I do my best. It's the Jersey in me, I guess. You mentioned, like, sometimes you're interviewing with somebody who's younger than we are, and to me, that's just one of those things that has to be radically accepted, you know, and because sometimes there's a lot of resentment around it. And I can tell you, they feel it, you know, they feel it when, you know, we're 50, 60, you know, plus, and we're interviewing with somebody who's, you know, like our child's age, or younger even. And, And there's like a subliminal indignance of like, how can this person evaluate me, you know, or why are they in a position to evaluate me? And I just say to them, I was like, okay, so let's just reverse this a little bit. Let's just back up and reverse this a little bit. When you were 25, how many 65-year-old people did you hire? Usually the answer for most people is zero. I was like, so were you engaging in age discrimination then, or did you just not relate to people older than you? Or did you feel like they talked down to you so you didn't bring them in? You know, and, you know, it was a little different, obviously, 20, 30, 40 years ago, too. But, you know, it's not like older people still didn't look for jobs then either, right? So, or then I'll even say, like, when you were 25, how many 40-year-old people did you hire? You know, so I just flip it back to them. And it's a tough nut to, you know, a tough thing to swallow sometimes. But it shows that it's not personal. You know, it's a human thing that has to now be addressed. Doesn't mean it's okay, but it's just, this is what's happening, right? So, so then I try to say to them, if you can do your best to relate to this person, do your best to make this person's job easier without coming across condescending or that you're showing them what to do, or, you know, do your best to be helpful, you know, because they're scared to death that they're going to lose their job tomorrow. So I said, now you're showing that you can work amongst the generations too. Like, so it's, that to me is just one of those things. That's a radical acceptance type of thing. And then you build your plan. Or, you know, when people say that, you know, oh, if I can just get in front of somebody, it's like, well, those days are almost over for some industries and professions, right? So radically accept the fact that you have to be good now at online interviewing, you know, or if you do have to do it in person, you're going to do it with a mask, you know, and how are you going to show happiness and expression when your smile is like this, right? So now you're going to have expressive eyes without looking creepy, right? So, you know, like it's just accepting what it is. And then, okay, how do I convey what I need to convey with these new sets of boundaries or obstacles, right? So I think that it comes back to a lot of that. And, I just found myself doing like this when Alex was talking. It's like, we just have to, you know, that's the acceptance aspect of it. You know, instead of wishing it was different. I'm not saying we can't have those days or hours in the day, because Lord knows I have them myself, but we still in the end have to accept it so we can keep moving forward.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. I hope you see the value that's being delivered to the members of our community. I work to bring in experts of all kinds to the Career Pivot community, and all of these sessions are recorded and are available inside the community forever. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can also find me on Twitter at Career Pivot. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. Come back next week when I play the second half of the session with Lisa and Alex. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-192. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, Spotify, and Pandora. I hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.